Hey, hey, welcome to the Bodies Built Better podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Tan, and this show is all about human performance. I chat with athletes, coaches, health experts, and scientists on all the best tips, tools, and strategies to help you feel your best and experience your extraordinary potential. So firstly, I wanted to say welcome back to the show. If you haven't noticed by now, this year is a little bit different. If you're a fan and follower of the show, you'll know that I have changed things up a bit. And normally I would be on break from the podcast. And as crazy as it sounds, I would be on a 6-month break because the seasons I would normally do from June to December, and then I would take January to June off. But I just found that, you know, I create so much positive momentum during the season, and then to take 6 months off was just, it didn't make sense to me now that I've really got things going and things, like I said, have created some really great momentum. And why, when you have that, would you want to put a pause to that? So I haven't. Here we are. It is a bit different. It's not the guest appearance every week. The last few, if you haven't tuned in, they're really short episodes. It's all about posing a question to yourself and reflecting upon what you believe or what you're currently doing, whatever that particular episode is about. And I think it's really important because I think we can just get into that sort of autopilot mode where we are doing same thing day in, day out, and we forget to check back into ourselves. So these questions and these episodes provide a little bit of that questioning and reflection based on what you're doing. And I don't believe we can really move forward without doing that reflection process. And look, honestly, it's going to be different for everyone and how you continue to self-improve and develop and move through life. For me, it's really, really important. And so continually asking myself these things is really the way that I'm learning more about myself and how I work, and more importantly, how I work best. So that's what these shorter episodes are about. If you're enjoying them, please let me know. I'd really love to know what your thoughts are and, you know, what you think when you hear the question. What's that first feeling, that first reaction? Is it triggering? Is there resistance? Because I think all of this also is a sign of something. And if there is a bit of resistance, maybe it is something you need to consider or really dive into. Anyway, those are my thoughts. I would love to hear yours. So please get in touch. And today on the show, I have the pleasure of welcoming back friend and trainer and strength coach and business owner, Josh Smith. It's funny because in this episode, I introduced the episode as it being guest hosted by Josh. And what I realized by the end of it was really, it was just the usual format. And that was he's a guest and I'm interviewing him. So I've got a bit to work on with this whole guest hosting thing, because I'd really love to have people on the show where I can bounce back ideas and conversations and thoughts around all the ways we can experience our incredible potential. But this was really fun. They're always fun with Josh. We talk about New Year's resolutions or not being, you know, Josh doesn't call them that. I don't really call them that. I know a lot of the clients that I've spoken with don't really have New Year's resolutions. That's not what they strive for anyway. But I really love his goal, his challenge to himself for the year. And this is what we talk about. And I think it's a really important conversation because, firstly, the goal itself is a challenge, and it's something that I can relate to in the sense of giving something up in order to feel your best and get the best from yourself. But then not only that, how that then kind of impacts not only yourself, but actually the relationships around you and what that means when you do bring this goal up to people and their reactions and thoughts with friends and family. So it's a really interesting conversation. I know you'll probably relate to it in the sense that you may have experienced something like this before, where you've decided to make a choice for yourself and yet other people feel affected by it, which I find really interesting. So without further ado, let's dive straight into this one with Josh Smith.
Josh, welcome back to the Bodies Built Better podcast.
So ready.
So this is a really special episode or episodes because you're guest hosting.
Yeah, that's exciting.
You're like me.
Yeah.
You're like Jackie 2.0.
I'm Jackie 2.0.
So here we are, and I thought, what could I get Josh to talk about? And when I thought about it, like, actually, there's a lot that Josh has to say. So I thought we would start with New Year's resolution because I know you've made one. I don't know if you call it a resolution.
Nah, bruh.
Okay. So let's start there. What are you doing? What do you call it? And why have you decided to do it?
What am I doing? Basically, the end of last year, I challenged myself with some stuff. I call it like a challenge, right? It's a challenge. It's a growth and development. It's a reflections on what was, and then what do I, how do I want to challenge myself, and what do I want to be, or how can I try and be better, try and evolve a little bit. Is basically how I was thinking about it, and what I have resolved to do, which is where the resolution guess comes from, is this year I'm not drinking alcohol. Now, context, I drank a lot of alcohol last year, all right? And it would be casual, like, you know, I wouldn't say anything above average, right? But it'd be like casual beers or casual wines or enjoying this when you go out for dinner, that kind of stuff, right? But on top of a bunch of other things I'm implementing into my life or removing from my life, one of the biggest ones I thought about was, what are things that we do as people that are socially acceptable, that are not necessarily the best for us physically or mentally? And that would be a challenge to remove from your life and or add in if you go the other way. And for me, I was like, in the situations that I'm in, and the environments that I'm in, it's very socially acceptable to drink, have beers, you know, go out for wines and whatnot. It's not the best for your body. It's not the best for you mentally. And it's also not the best for you financially, right? So the end of the year, I did a full year review where I went through my bank accounts. I went through my calendar. I went through, you know, the situations that arose last year that I could remember, some of the memory, and analyze all of them to be like, okay, what did I actually spend money on? Right? What did I actually, or where did I actually spend my time? How did I think about certain things when it came up? As I go through my calendar, I'm like, oh, I remember that meeting. That wasn't that good, or that was that good, or and then use that as a basis for like, cool, well, I can tell you exactly how much I spent last year on a whole bunch of topics, or a whole bunch of, in a whole bunch of areas. I can tell you exactly where I spent a whole bunch of hours. I can tell you exactly how I felt after certain things now that they've passed. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, now I've got these tangible figures and feelings and ideas. What are those things fit the criteria for changing and development and challenge? And I was like, sweet, guess what? Alcohol's gone. So in order to do that, then I've had to think about how can I achieve this goal. You know, obviously I've got my whys, which get into in a little bit, but also how can I do it? And the first thing is to substitute alcohol for non-alcoholic beers, non-alcoholic wines, which is just grape juice really, or different beverages if I'm in that situation. or just avoiding situations that I know can escalate to that point. So that's what I've basically done right now.
So it's been 4 weeks?
Yep. This is what, 2nd of Feb? So
yeah, yeah.
My last drink was an espresso martini at 3 a.m. on the 1st. So New Year's Eve to New Year's Day, so January 1st, was an espresso martini, 3 a.m. After that, I was like, it's the end of tonight. That was it.
So coming back to the reason you made the decision,
mm-hmm.
you chose to eliminate alcohol because you thought that you would be – this would be the thing that really helped you improve.
It would challenge physical, me the most.
Physical, mental.
Yeah.
And relationships. Like, what's the thought process around that? Because obviously there's a relationship – I won't say issue because that's not what it is, but that's going to be a challenge because your relationships – can revolve around getting together for a beer or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So what's the thought process behind that and then having to deal with that?
The thought process behind removing it was, is that what you're asking? First and foremost?
Let's go, yeah.
First and foremost was after drinking, I would not feel good mentally for a couple of days, right? Physically, I'm not too bad. But mentally, I wasn't sharp. I didn't feel sharp. I didn't feel good. I would like my memory wasn't good, or my capacity to for forethought, you know, or to think ahead wasn't as good. It was like dulled a little bit, you know. And I was like, I don't like that feeling. I don't like feeling like I'm out of sorts for a day and a half to 2 days of a 7 day week. I want to make sure I'm trying to be, you know, or I want to make sure I'm trying to be on point with things, or that I'm aware of things, that I can do what I want to do in my life in regards to business, in regards to relationships or development, in regards to language learning, whatever I'm doing. I want to make sure I'm sharp for it. And I didn't think that the $3,800 I spent on alcohol last year was a great, a worthwhile investment, right? So I was like, well, guess what? Like, I'll remove that for that reason so I can stay sharp, with the compounding benefits for me being I'm going to have to challenge myself to speak differently to people, or to overcome objections, or to respond to other people's issues, or respond to their own things that may come up when I say, sorry, I'm not drinking, you know, or I don't want one, I'll come out for a soda water, or whatever that happens to be. And so the relationships that I've found, that I've had, or I've got, obviously, it's been really illuminating to see who responds in what way, how they respond, and how I talk to them. You know, it's for me, I'm coming at it from this perspective where I've got my reasons and rationale. And when someone say, hey, you want to be? I'm like, no, I'll grab a juice or something. Oh, you're not drinking? Like, no, I'm not. And then what comes next? Mm. You know, are you going to get offended? Are you going to be okay with it? Or is it going to open up a line of conversation that we might not have had before, or whatever that is? You know, so that's the why behind it. The relationship wise, I've been, okay, January, not a problem. A lot of people are also kind of like, oh, I'm minimizing my drinking because December was big. Right? Great. The challenge is going to come March, April, May, right? Because it's very easy to go, we've had Christmas, we've had New Year's, we've had all this sudden stuff, I'm going to take a couple of weeks off. Then come February, oh, I'm still slowly easing back into it. And then people get into like fringe and end of summer, and it's easy to go out and have a couple of drinks and catch up with people. At that point, my real challenge is going to start, because now I've got a lot more people back on the bandwagon going, do you want to come out for a beer? Or soccer will start, and my team's a Sunday Div 6 league, right? And so all the boys are like, beers at halftime. And I'm like, that's not my culture. Our our song is basically da 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 da, the boys want to piss again. That's our theme song for when we win games, right? Which is cool if you're a Sunday league team. But for me, at the moment, I'm like, cool, I'll sing it, but it's not really quite true.
Yeah.
You know, so from a relationship perspective, I can't speak to that now. I can only speak to the 5 or 6 different instances I've had where I've talked to people. First one being the 2nd of Jan or 3rd of Jan. I went to a mate's place I hadn't seen for probably 6 or 8 months. I one of my best mates, went there, and the night was basically come over, we'll have wines, right? So it cracked out all the great wines, you know, the four of us were there, his partner, my partner, and the decanter was out. It was just this experience. And he said, oh, you want a wine? I was like, nah, okay. He's like, oh, you're not drinking. And I said, nah. And he goes, oh, okay, cool. So that night I had soda water, and they had five bottles of wine, three of them. But then I went back 2 weeks later, and he was like, oh, you want to have a beer? And I said, I'm all good. He's like, oh, you're not drinking? I said, nah. He goes, how long before? And I said, the whole year. And he was like, what? Like, why not? Why are you drinking the whole year? And I said, why does my choice affect you? And he went, that's a fair point. I'll get you a water. You want a juice, right? So seeing like that response, like you don't know how that's going to be in that moment, you know? So that's where my challenge and development and ideas are. And, you know, I've committed to a year, and challenging myself last year with the things I did last year. And I saw my personal challenges through the whole year. And I was like, well, I've done it. I've done it before. So let's add something more that was like a private personal one. Now let's add something that's a bit more socially visible to encourage the challenge and development from my perspective in communication or articulation or like working through that, that, you know, social challenge, you know. So we'll see how we go.
It's interesting because I feel like you are such a you're such a presence. You've got such high energy, and you talk with so much conviction when you are ready to do something. So I feel like your conversations with people are more, and correct me if I'm wrong because I don't know your mates, but I feel like they're going to be more readily accepting of your decisions. Mm-hmm. Whereas from my experience, and I know family is a different thing altogether,
mm-hmm.
but my decision to go vegetarian, for example, it's like the end of the world for them. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like what you said, well, why does that have an impact on you? What's the problem?
Exactly.
And yet there is always something to say about that. And it just always seemed not that accepting. And yes, I know they're joking at times, but how many times can you say the same lame joke at every gathering?
Yeah.
That's actually not funny at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just wonder, you know, if you were not you,
yes,
would it be more challenging?
I wasn't me a couple of years ago.
Okay.
All right. So me now is not me a couple of years ago.
So describe you a couple of years ago.
Oh, a whole bunch of different, a lot more issues. Yeah. I would either, I'd make excuses to do it internally, as let's say drinking, for example, right? I would justify it, or I'd be like, oh, I don't really want to do this. And someone like, oh, you should do it. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll do it to be either accepted or to be a part of something. And I wouldn't have been able, I would have been more in that situation where I would have felt either peer pressured or some internal kind of justification to do it for whatever my own shit was at the time. And so I can't say I've been in that situation where it's, you know, relentless, and I am someone who will stand up for what I kind of want. But I've been in that situation before where it is peer pressure, or you are trying to prove yourself to the older blokes in the soccer team, for example, or you are trying to fit in with the social groups you're around or the relationships you're around or who you're with at the time or whatever, right? So me now is very different to me then. And I would have fed into that and I've been like, all right, cool, I'll do it. Like me committing to a year no alcohol is fucking incredible. Like it's, I wouldn't have, even mid last year would be like, that's not possible for me. So I think for if you're in the situations where you do get that pressure from family or from close friends or from the people you're around, I think the shift for me came when I really decided to not give a shit about anybody else's opinion and lean into what I was feeling and what I wanted to do. And that is the way I feel about it is a stepwise process. Like you don't just go from like saying, you know, oh yeah, I'll do that and have some drinks to being like, I'm not going to drink for a year. Like this is a great divide.
Or even a step back from that and going, oh, I'm not going to care what they think.
Exactly. You know, so it's taken a lot to get there. And so talk about with my partner in regards to like boundaries. It's, you don't just, if you've got a paddock, right, of sheep and you want to actually build a boundary around that, like literal boundary around that. You don't just put a whole boundary down that's done, right? You start peg by peg. You put a peg down and then you put the next peg down, you connect them. And then you go to the next one and you connect them. And eventually the more you connect, the more you actually can put a boundary around what's actually happening. And that's how I feel about it.
I really love that analogy. So let's just work on that for a second. Putting a peg down is what in real life?
In real life, it's
the, is that like the first no?
It's the first no. It's the first no, and then the no that might get pushed back, but it's when you stick to that no.
Mm.
Right? It's not the no, oh, okay, I'll do it after a bit of a push. It's the no, and I stand by that. That's the first peg. And that could be something like, hey, George, I'm going to have a coffee tomorrow. No, I don't. And with no justification necessary, and you stick to it, you know. And even if there is a justification for it, and you say, because blah, 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 as long as you stick to it, that's that first peg. And then you build on that. It can be a no to a coffee that then turns into a no to a birthday that or an event that then turns into a no to a whatever that may be next. And then that continues and that continues. And eventually, those around you will recognize that, oh, you know, Jackie's not eating meat. So we're not going to ask her. We're not going to say things, you know. It could be something as small as someone makes that lame joke at family gathering. And you say, you know what? That's actually not funny. So why do you continue doing that? I'd appreciate it if you don't ever bring that up again. There's a peg. And they do it again. So look, I've told you once before, if you do it again, I'm not going to be in this conversation with you. I'm just going to remove myself. There's a second peg, you know, and it builds from there. So it can be conversation, can be action. But it's something where you stand by what you want for you that then eventually builds that boundary and then you've got it there.
Which is super, super easy said than done.
Absolutely.
So if, okay, let's just say you're committed to that. What if they're not respecting those boundaries? What happens to that relationship? Because I can imagine there's going to be some people out there who it's almost like they're defensive of the fact that they mm-hmm. haven't made the decision for themselves. So they're justifying why they're yep. still drinking. And if you drink, like
whatever your decision
yeah,
is.
Yeah, your choice is your
choice. You do you.
But in the instance that they're so, I guess there's pushback mm-hmm. and there maybe is no respect or they're still in your face, like, why? Come on, have a drink. It's only one drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like what happens in that instance and what happens to that relationship?
It depends on the relationship.
Okay.
And it depends on how much you value that relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's, let's say it's family and your ideas of family are, well, I really value this relationship, then the way to cut through like conflict and combativeness is communication mm-hmm. and actually opening a dialogue. Not in that moment. It might not be in that moment. It might be, hey, can we catch up on and talk to you about something in regards to this, right? If you value the relationship. If it's one where you're kind of like, will my life be any worse off if this person, this relationship wasn't in it? No, I won't engage in that again. You know, that's how I do things, you know. So on the spectrum of like, doesn't matter if you go to, I want you around forever. You got to gauge what that is.
I want you around forever, but you're continually not respecting my boundaries.
Communication.
My decision.
Communication and understand why that's happening. So really, really great book. Great book to read. You, wherever you're listening or watching. Fierce Intimacy. By Terrence Real, 120% recommended. I listen to it because he's a relationship counselor
mm-hmm.
or relationship psychologist, whatever his therapist, whatever his thing is, from New Jersey. And he's this amazing accent. Really easy to listen to. I listened to it 7 times last year.
Wow.
Yeah. Really a lot of tearing in my ears. And that book, the reason I said that book is because the book is called Fierce Intimacy. The subheading is How to Stand Up for Yourself with Love.
Ooh, good one.
You're welcome. You're welcome, right? No, 100%. I cannot recommend it more. You know, yeah, I cannot recommend it more. It has completely changed the outcomes of my relationships.
What's the biggest takeaway from that book?
That in regards to relationships, there has to be a mutual respect for a relationship to move forward, right? And understanding how you work when you're in conflict, when your emotional state is heightened, allows you to then better understand the other person where they might be at. And then seeking that understanding allows that communication to occur. The biggest takeaway, where is Jackie right now? Where in conflict? Is she heightened? Is she walled off? Is she aggressive? What is she disrespecting me? Like, what is happening there that we can then talk through? And whether that means we take a break, or as in like in that moment, say, guess what? We've, as part of our relationship, we allow ourselves to leave, go to your room, go have a sleep, whatever it may be. And when you're ready to talk about why you feel this way and why I feel this way, then we can move forward. So I honestly believe that the greatest takeaway is that understanding of basically it's empathy, understanding where they're at, how they're presenting, how they're talking, how they're acting, and then empathizing with that, but also maintaining what you want to achieve, like what you're resonating with in that moment. And not necessarily like what you want to achieve. It's like, okay, I value this person. I love this person, but we're both heightened. We need to actually come back when we can communicate.
That requires a lot of self-awareness to be able to go, we're both triggered here. High
and a lot of practice. State,
and we need to put this on pause.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
And so I wonder then, like, where does that come into play? Where's the need for self-awareness, or at least a good level, base level of self-awareness to go, first, I'm able to recognize these sorts of situations, press pause, go away, come back and readdress it. That's one. And then two, be self-aware and understand your own self-worth and value to go, actually, this relationship means a lot to me, but I need to put my needs and my choices first.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like, you said before, I'm not the same person I was a couple of years ago. So would you say Josh a couple of years ago potentially would not be able to complete or start or...
100%.
Yeah, okay.
100%. It's interesting to bring that up because I actually thought about writing myself a letter, as in writing old Josh a letter, right?
Dear Joshy,
you're an asshole. Here's why.
Yeah.
Like if Josh now was talking to Josh then, I'm like, you little asshole.
But what would be the need for that?
Because no, you've obviously gone through that growth. Combative, right? Yeah. Both Joshes have a fight. Okay. No. So the question about self-awareness. I think for me, there's a reason I went through like Terry's book 7 times because each time I picked up something more. And now this, like I said, the words that you're listening to affect you, right? And you cannot unhear the words, right? And then you need to hear them again. Like I remember, I don't know if I've told you this, but I was listening to the book one day when I was walking down here at the beach, doing Henley LaGrange, headphones in, sunny's on. No branding.
Not goggles.
Not this time. These are sunnies. I should have had goggles because as I'm reading the book, as I'm listening to the book, as I'm walking, I'm just like, shit starts like coming up for me. As he's talking about whatever the book's going through at that moment, shit starts coming up. Oh my God. Like my sister like this, or my mom like that, or my dad. Like this shit that's happened in the past that I've been involved in has been either it's been a one-on-one conversation or it's been something. And I've just had this whole new realization of it. Like, oh, wow. Like, I was an asshole and I could have done that better.
You were the asshole.
Or they were, right? Okay. But like, these all these shit just starts coming up, and it's a challenging book to listen to. And so as you're listening to it, I feel like you gain more awareness. Like the reason you listen to, read, absorb anything is to try and seek understanding, right? Exactly. So the first step in self-awareness is actually going, I need to understand why we're in this conflict. What do I need? Like, what do I need in this situation? And some people go to, like, you know, relationship counselors, actually in-person therapy or whatever that may be. But that's the first level of self-awareness. For me, I get a lot from books and I get a lot from listening to things. So I sort that out, right? And so then to actually commit to listening, regardless of how hard this is going to be to hear, I need to hear it and then progress from there. So as for me, it was like as listening to it, I started to go, oh, that, like, this chapter, this was great. I might try utilizing this in my relationship, right? Or in my relationship with whoever that may be at that time, right? Friends, family, partner, whatever. And see what happens. So you just test it. You know, I might have heard something. I'm like, oh, well, when this comes up, I'm going to do this. I would normally do that, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to see what response is from there. And it's that little test, like, let's just see how it works. And if it works, and if it doesn't, then I'll keep listening and see what happens, you know? And that's where I think the self-awareness comes from, is that it's, yeah, you listen to it. Like I said, first step is you've identified as a need. We're always fighting, well, how can we fix this? And then you identify for you what's going to work is the second step. And then the third step is then, all right, cool, I'm taking that path where this works for me. Now I'm going to implement what I'm being told. I'm not just going to be like, oh, I know that, and not do it, you know? And cool thing on that is that I read book, or listen, I say listen to the book. I listened to the book twice. I listened to the book once, started changing some things, listened to it again, picked up some other things, started changing how I was responding. And when I would feel like some shit, I'd be like, okay, I'm feeling this still, but I'm going to respond differently. And in situations of conflict, and 4 weeks or 5 weeks after, like, I started doing that, I was in a conversation with my partner and I said to her, have you noticed the change in me at all? And she was like, you're completely different. What's happened? And I was like, thank you, Terry. And that's when I said to her, I was like, yo, like, I've been listening to this book. I've listened to it twice because we're in a lot of conflict, right? Yeah. And for her to validate that there was a change, I was like, this is the thing. Like, this is actually helping. And then she went and read it 7 times or some shit, whatever, you know what I mean? And then you both go through that in that point, and then things start to change. You can actually recognize it. Is it perfect? Absolutely not, right? Does it help? Absolutely. And so once you bring other people into that as well, and that understanding is, becomes a lot easier, but I can see you're in this way, or I'm feeling like this, to communicate that. That's why I said the communication helps get through the conflict or the combativeness from someone else's stuff, you know? So Josh, a couple of years ago, when my mate said to me, oh, you can't be drinking for a year, whatever, da, 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 wouldn't have said, why do my issues affect you? Josh would have said, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'll grab a bit. Very different outcome. And once then, I then devalued myself because I've said, I want to do this. I've ended up in that situation. I've just crumbled and done that, right? Then rebuild from that. Whereas now I'm at the point where I can be like, okay, cool. I understand he's in some conflict for himself at that point, but that's not about me. You know, this is someone else's issues, you know? And one thing that does come through from the book as well is this a them thing or is this a me thing? You know, is this situation here when he's saying to me, why are you going to be drinking like this, like that? Well, is this about me? No. So let's address that. You know, why does that affect you? And he goes, oh, well, actually, it doesn't. It's my own issue. Great. I'm going to have a soda water or a juice and then you have a beer. It's no issue on my behalf. I'm not judging you.
What if he goes, well, it's an issue because I knew you were coming. I went out and bought all these beers and all this stuff and you didn't even tell me. And now what?
And I'll say, you know what? That's cool. I apologize for not telling you, thinking you're going to buy this stuff, but next year we might be able to enjoy it, you know, or share it with some other friends, yeah. You know. I don't come here to drink with you. I come here to enjoy your company.
Yeah, amazing.
And I can
yeah.
still have your company.
Yeah.
And having something else.
Yeah.
You know.
It's interesting because you've made the decision, and whilst it doesn't have an impact on anyone else, or it shouldn't, you know, you can only be in charge of your own choices and aware of what you want to be doing, but you're not in control of them or their self-awareness or their reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a complete overreaction, yes, you can communicate, but if they're still not quite, I don't know what the word is, self-aware, like their self-awareness maturity isn't there,
mm-hmm.
then that conversation is still going to be really difficult.
And then you have that another time.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, look, I feel you, I can see you're frustrated, or I can see your anger. Like, you identify the emotion that you're seeing, like a therapist would, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, I can see you're frustrated. We don't have to talk about it now. It's okay. We'll go out for a coffee during the week and we'll chat about it, you know, and you just diffuse it. You know, you address how they're feeling, you acknowledge and you tell them, you see them, but you're still standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
You're not feeding into that.
Amazing.
Mm.
Okay, well, let's bring this right back around to New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
It's not a New Year's resolution. What do you call it? And then, I mean, I know it's only February. So it's like, what are your tips on how to keep
32 days solid?
Yeah, what do you call it? And what would you say to those listening how they could... You know, if there's something that they want to change,
mm-hmm.
how could they look at it?
Mm-hmm.
How can they keep on track with it to make sure that they're successful
mm-hmm.
in their choice?
I'm not calling it anything. It's outside of a lifestyle change or a personal change. Because I feel if you identify it as something that other people can identify, they put their own ideas on it, a resolution. Okay, cool. Oh, that's cool. Whatever, you know. Or, oh, you're doing this for a certain reason. Like, I'm not calling it that. Like, for me, this is what I'm doing for me. You know, so I'm just decided this year, I'm not doing this. You know, in regards to advice on how to implement the changes, for me, it has to be understanding, once again, the self-awareness. And we've talked about this before, right? Understanding what works to help drive change for yourself. So I know for me that I like to see things. I like to hear things. I like to be held accountable to things. And so I did a full bunch of, I set up a whole spreadsheet and, you know, I would talk to my friends and family about what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, you know, and to see their reactions. And that gives me like, oh, awesome. You know, they're on board, support network. So I would say the first thing to do is like, if it's something that is a behavior, drinking, smoking, you know, poor food choices, whatever, however you want to define that as an activity, as an action, to substitute it first and foremost. So I literally substituted beer, full strength beer, to non-alcoholic beer. That's a choice I can make. I still get the taste. I still get to have the social situation. It minimizes the impact of people going, oh, you're not drinking, because it still looks like a can. You know, I can go and order a can at the bar, non-alcoholic, and I have it there. They can't tell, right? So it makes it a bit easier. And I'm with myself. Oh, I feel cool. You know, I'm doing this for myself still. And then I can start to voice it, you know? So substitution first and foremost, that fits in line with the action that you're doing. So you can still continue the action, but you can still move forward how you want to. Then for me, it was support network. You know, those who you trust or those who you know will support you. So telling my mate, I knew he would support me because he's been with me for 16, 17 years, right? So I knew by telling him, it's not going to be a combative situation that is going to give rise to the end of our relationship. You know, it's like he might have his issues, but then we'll work through it. You know, we've been through shit before, like whatever.
Yeah.
So like the support network, and that the support network also has to help keep you accountable. You know, so I know that if I go, oh, I'm going to have a drink, someone in that network, whoever I'm with, is going to be like, no, you're not. How about have a juice? Mm. You know, so having that there as well, those things there have been the biggest by far. And then starting to speak it into reality. So now I'm starting to tell people outside the circles that, you know, I was doing this for 3 weeks before I told anyone outside the circle, you know. And then what that allows me to do is like learn and adjust and practice and feel comfortable in a safe space making this change before then broadcasting it, you know, because then you open yourself up to a whole bunch of other opinions that you may or may not give a shit about, you know. So they were substitution and then support, first two by far. And then on a daily basis, just like putting stuff into your sphere, mind space, or visually reading things, listening to things that support that, you know, listening to stories of, in this particular example, listening to stories of people who have stopped drinking or have gone sober and why they've done that just reinforces that decision that you've made to continue going on it, you know. Whereas if you go 2-3 days without hearing another story or actually committing and having that conviction to yourself, just kind of forget about it, you know, if you're not that resolved on doing it, you know, and you need that support, you know. And from a drinking perspective, you might go 6 or 7 days, you might go 2 weeks without having an opportunity to say no to someone. I now look forward to saying no to people. I'm like, I cannot wait to say no to the next drink, because that's going to require something different.
Yeah.
It's going to require that change. So that would be my, like, if you want to change something, start there.
Yeah. And that's really great because, you know, each time it's like you're building that armor.
I call it the discipline muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time you say no to something, it gets stronger.
Yeah.
And that's, this is
putting the reps.
Putting the reps. And this is what has developed from last year. You know, last year's like challenge, moving to this year, or challenge development, whatever you want to call it, moving to this one. Like last year's one is a personal one that I built the reps up for myself. I didn't tell anyone until like December, you know, like 11 months, be like, yeah, I did it. You know, but that then now allows me to, that's what I was saying at the start about now I'm doing stuff that's more socially visible. That you can see, and you build that armor, build that discipline muscle. That every time you say no to something, get stronger, and you learn. If you're involved in it and you're aware of what's happening, you can be like, "Cool." You learn from it. You iterate. Each time is iteration. Mm. It's not just the same no every time. It's like I said no, and here's what happened. Then I can iterate on that next time. So when it does come to a point where you are out with family who continue saying it stuff, you've built so much muscle that you can just be like, here's why. Mm-hmm. Confident with that. I'm not going to, you know, feed back into something because I've got the armor there. It doesn't affect me. One good thing from the book as well. Speaking of the armor, fantastic analogy. Terry talks about, it's first name basis well now. Terry, me and Tez got it down, right? He talks about the skin on an orange. Yeah. Right. And you being the fruit of the orange and the skin of the orange, the inside skin is white, the outside skin is orange, right? The inside skin protects others from your shit. The outside skin protects you from their shit. And I was like, yes.
Nice one.
And it's about like building that armor, you know, because I'm not going to be going and putting my judgments on other people for them drinking now, you know, like, it's not my position to do that. That's the inside skin, you know, and learning, okay, cool, I might feel this way, but I'm not going to project onto them, you know, and then outside building that armor to so nothing from the outside comes in and affects you.
Yeah. When you say no to them, you say yes to you.
Boom!
So I reckon we'll end this off. Like the question that you would ask listeners to maybe ask of themselves.
Ooh. That's a lot.
In regards to whether you want to call them New Year's resolutions, whether you want to call them goals, whether you want to call them choices that you're making for you, habits, like whatever it is, what is something that you want them to think about that questions what they're doing at the moment?
What situations do you find yourself in where you're at conflict with yourself?
Boom. It's a pretty good one, I'd say.
that's what it would be. You know.
Oh, I'm gonna think about that one too. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bodies Built Better podcast.
This has been fantastic.
Jackie Tay, George Smith. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me again.
That was Josh Smith on his goal for the year or challenge. And I would love to know what you're challenging yourself with this year. For me, so far, it's quitting coffee. And so far, so good. Here we are in February, and I have not had a coffee since actually Christmas, or the day before Christmas, really. And I'm doing all right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would like to get a coffee on my way to work, or before work, or in the middle of work, or after work. But I'm doing well so far, and the challenging thing for me has been changing that ritual in the morning. So it's about replacing it with something else. So yes, I have replaced it with something. A couple of things. Those things are either a hot chocolate, a fresh juice, or actually a tea as well. So it's either of those three. You might argue that a hot chocolate isn't the best thing to be swapping it with anyway. But for me, the caffeine really affects me. And so whilst it might not be any better, or you may argue it's worse, but for me, in the sense of what's worse for me, like it is that caffeine. It has not such a great effect on me. And if you really want to know the effects that it has on me, and how I have felt the benefits of it so far, being almost 9 weeks, 8 weeks, then let me know, and I'm happy to talk about that journey as well, because there are some crazy things that I have found ever since stopping drinking coffee and consuming caffeine. So that's an interesting journey for me. I would love to know what you're doing. I hope you enjoyed this fun episode with Josh Smith as usual. Please, if you think this would help someone, maybe they've given up alcohol, share this with them and let them know that, you know, they're not alone. We are all going through something and are challenging ourselves with things. And this may give them some sense of, I guess, connection. This may resonate, but also hopefully give them some tools in which they can use to deal with their situations that they may be going through as well. So share it with your friends. Of course, subscribe or leave a review. These things help the podcast grow, and that is something I would really appreciate. And I really appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time, and have the best day, week, month, and year. Stay awesome, and I'll catch you next time.